Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Alampi is here. Jim's become a great member of our Brain Trust. Coming up on 5 years, he's been hanging out with us, founder of Alampi & Associates, creator of the Outstanding Execution Maximizer, which is a really great tool, author of Great to Excellent, it's the Execution, and he's our good friend, Jim Alampi. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. You want to talk today about innovation and change, and one of the things that I've been harping on for 20 years now, over 20 years, has been the power of understanding that you can't stay in one place, especially in the 21st century, that you can, and as some of our Brain Trust members, including you, have taught us, you can't just accept change, you can't just manage change. You have to lead with change. You have to lead change. And you can't lead change if you're not being innovative, can you?
No, I guess you could, but it will be bad change. And obviously innovation is what gets us the good kind of change.
Right. So talk to us about the power, the value of innovation as the basically the foundation of change.
You know, it's interesting with all the companies we work with, it's rare to find a company that thinks they aren't innovative. But when you peel back the onion and you start looking at what are the behaviors in that company, how do they really foster and, as you said, lead innovation, oftentimes they put barriers in their own way that's going to prevent them from being innovative. I mean, the companies that claim to be innovative, one of the questions I always ask them is, how do you specifically assess new hires for adaptability, flexibility, and willingness to change? And most of the time I get a blank look like, well, we don't assess against those attributes at all. So why would you expect to find an innovative culture if you didn't hire people with the kind of attributes that are required to be innovative?
And let's stipulate that if you're an organization, if you're a leadership, if you're a CEO who is interested in acquiring innovative people, by definition, that makes you an innovative, someone who values innovation and who will create an innovative culture. So I think we can say, because that is important, right? I mean, that you do have to create a culture of innovation. But if you're looking for innovative people, by definition, we should be able to stipulate that, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. And then the question is, let's look at the things that are being done, the culture that's been created within the organization that rewards innovation. One of the questions that you always look for is, how tight is the expense control in the company?
Mm-hmm.
Because tight expense control and innovation don't go in the same sentence. You've got to be willing to give people some freedom and latitude and maybe even a small budget to let them go try new things. And then when some of them don't go right, you've got to reward those efforts, not punish those efforts.
See, this is something that I see as a macro challenge, Jim, not just for small businesses, but for corporate America. Their fealty to the 90-day conference call, to the guidance, the 90-day guidance that they seem obligated to deliver, in my opinion, it comes at the expense of the humans that work for these companies, and it comes at the expense of their innovation. And I think we're seeing that those chickens come home to roost right now, because more than ever before, in a trading environment, which we have had now for a while, not an investing environment on Wall Street, this 90-day conference call does not make it conducive to have a budget for innovation. And I'm hoping, Jim, that if you saw the letter by Jamie Dimon and Warren Buffett, they're proposing that more companies stop doing that, kind of guidance. And if that's the case, I'm hoping that that will turn around and manifest as a greater commitment to investment up and down the marketplace. What do you think?
I couldn't agree with you more, and that's why one of the big advantages that privately held, family-held entrepreneurial companies have such an advantage, because right. they don't have somebody looking over their shoulder at, what did you do for me in the last mm-hmm. 90 days?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And so that's the reason why a lot of small businesses, which have become innovative, have wound up growing up and being acquired by some of these companies, the owners make a lot of money off of that. But you also have to be careful not to lose your stuff, not to let them steal your stuff too.
Exactly. It's incredible to me how many companies, with the economy booming the way it is, how many companies are getting private equity investments or buying another company or yep. being bought themselves. I mean, money is just flowing around mm-hmm. in businesses, because a lot of those privately held businesses have emerged as innovative leaders in their space.
What you talk about this hire for attributes for good innovation? What would that look like?
Well, when I hear a company tell me that, an executive team tell me that it's a highly innovative culture, one of the questions I always ask is, so that every leader in this room has set at least one innovation goal for their direct reports for the next year, right? And rarely do I find that to be the case. Well, if you don't have specific goals to get people to do things that are innovative, to try new things, and it isn't just product innovation, it's services innovation, it's the whole realm of things that companies have to do to stay in business and thrive in business. So, I look for, does every senior leader in the company have an innovation goal that's part of their performance review?
So when you interview a person, or when you give specifications to a headhunter or your HR people, your recruiters, do you give them an innovative specification? Is that what you would do? I want you to bring me somebody who can tell me a story about how they innovated. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. And the question, really then is, what kind of assessment tools? I mean, there are lots of assessment tools out there that the HR folks can utilize. Do we use an assessment tool to specifically mm-hmm. manage or try to figure out how adaptable, flexible, and willing to change our people
right.
in the
workplace?
Does your execution
maximizer do that?
No, but we have lots of people that we recommend that can do
right.
that kind of assessment.
Hold on to that thought, Jim. Yep. Jim Alampi, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.